Welcome to Master the Start, a podcast for young professionals where we interview business experts on how you can master the start of your life in business.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Master the Start podcast. Today, we have an awesome guy on the show, Jimmy Fritz. Jimmy Fritz is the CEO of The Wedding Shop in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's also the co-founder of wedding apparel accessory brands like Kennedy Blue and Penny and Pine. In his 15 years of marketing and leadership experience, he has empowered brands to reach their full growth potential through digital marketing strategies and innovative product development processes, making The Wedding Shop an industry leader today in sales and digital marketing strategy. In 2009, Jimmy launched The Wedding Shop's first e-commerce site. While other retailers' sales plummeted in correlation with the housing market crisis, The Wedding Shop actually drove double-digit increases in sales both in-store and online. In 2011, Jimmy was key in the launch of Kennedy Blue, The Wedding Shop's private label bridal bridesmaid dress line. In its first year of business, Kennedy Blue accounted for 30% of The Wedding Shop's total bridesmaids dress sales. In 2012, Kennedy Blue officially spun off as an independent business. Due to an outpouring of requests from brides and their friends for fast-acting and sustainable skincare, Penny and Pine, a new line of natural skincare solutions, will launch in the fall of 2018 under Jimmy's leadership. With his expertise in digital sales and marketing, Jimmy continues his passion for spotting market trends and incorporating consumer feedback into product and process development efforts. This guy's a beast. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Here's our interview with Jimmy Fritz. Hello, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. Let's just hop right in if you're okay with that.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
All right. So to this point, what is the greatest moment in your professional career? Can you take us to that moment? Kind of let us experience that with you?
Yeah, I don't probably have like one defining moment. I would like to think that's probably the best thing. Probably a bunch of them. I was actually just working on my bio just to do some podcasts and speaking events and things like that. And when I looked back, what I was pretty impressed about was generally like when there's been a trend, especially in the technology and, you know, just general business, I suppose now, I was kind of on the forefront, or we as a company were on the forefront. And, you know, that goes all the way back to 2004, 2005, when we were really piloting e-commerce and digital marketing and tracking stuff and selling through multiple channels, which is now omni-channel. At the time, those things just weren't really even being discussed, especially in the retail sector very much, because we just got right out of the dot-com bubble burst. So, you know, that was one moment. But then, you know, even creating private label products and creating our own stuff back in probably 2011 with Kennedy Blue, that was also something that wasn't really being done, certainly by small businesses at the time. And even now, we're just starting to pilot really creating a brand. And it's not so much like there's retailers and manufacturers. And I mean, there's people to people. And, you know, now we're kind of jumping into like, we are the brand, we have to be the manufacturer, we have to be the retailer, we have to be everything. And so I'd like to think just generally, we've been pretty good about being on kind of the cutting edge of what retailers or companies should be doing.
Yeah, that's understandable. Why is that so important to you?
Well, I mean, in today's world, everything's changing so much, right? Like 10 years ago, Amazon, well, it was a thing. It really wasn't much of a thing. And today, I mean, I know a lot of most retailers, they should be to some extent, are really scared of just like, what do you do if Amazon comes into your industry and automates everything? And I don't think it's a matter of like if, it's probably when, if it's not Amazon, somebody figures that stuff out. So it's a changing world and people want to consume stuff in a different way. They don't necessarily want to drive their car and drive to a retail store. And sometimes they do, but then it's more of an experience. So I think it's just kind of a requirement of business today to be thinking like that, either creating that type of experience or creating some type of product that's so much better than everything else that you're able to do it through just the products. But in all likelihood, it's probably a combination of everything.
Very cool. Can you explain the moment you were the closest to giving up?
Giving up on the business, or what was the low point in the business or your professional career, and how did you bounce back from that?
Sure. Well, kind of like the successes, there probably isn't one, you know, defining low point. There's lots of low points all the time. What I will say is from probably 2007, 2006 to 2013, we pretty much experienced growth that entire time, especially at Wedding Shop. It's weird where when you're growing and everything you do works, and some of the things probably weren't even that great of ideas, but they were working because nobody else was really in that space. And also at that time, there was a bad economy from 2008 until, you know, really 2013, 2014, somewhere in that time period. So a lot of businesses were struggling. We were growing double digits every single year. And then when I hit a wall, when things weren't working as well, less people as a percentage of the population were getting married. Weddings became more casual. Retail was changing. We kind of hit a flat, not growing, and then we started declining in some areas. And yeah, that was really weird because now instead of talking about like hiring more people and growing and doing all this stuff, it becomes like, man, like I might have to lay people off or make cuts that I really am not prepared to handle. And I don't even know what I'm doing. And for a while, that becomes very, very challenging because you're just not used to it. It's something new and it's, you know, not fun having to let people go. That said, it's probably the best learning experience of my life also, because when things are going good, it's kind of easy. Like more money just kind of solves a lot of problems. And now that I look back, I'm like, man, if I would have had the discipline and I wouldn't say lack of patience, but now I have just a lot shorter patience when it comes to like people asking for things or money or stuff like that. Like we would have made so much more money back in the days when we were growing because we were just throwing money at problems and it wasn't really well thought out. And to some extent it contributed to the decline because we were just kind of getting comfortable with always succeeding versus like, well, what happens if less people get married or people don't get married at all? Like we didn't really take those types of concerns into consideration at the time.
Okay. Well, that kind of rolls right into the next question. So if you had one do-over in your early 20s, even though that might have not been in your early 20s, what would it be?
You know, okay, yeah, so that does kind of tie. In my early 20s, I wish I would have learned a little more. So I'm really kind of nerdy and techie, so I understood the digital side of things really well. And now that's kind of becoming something that a lot of people know, and it's not a unique to me anymore or to fewer people anymore. And so I was able to leverage that at a time when nobody understood what SEO was or like how Google worked or like why that was even important. And so I used what I was comfortable with and knew to grow versus, you know, really kind of understanding how business works. And so if I was to go back into my 20s, I wish I learned how money worked, like as in investing. I wish I learned how to like evaluate companies and really consider maybe even like buying companies and understanding how to leverage that versus just continually building things. And then just understanding how to make a company valuable with recurring revenue and with, you know, sustainability and things that when someone's going to look at your company and evaluate it, makes it worth a lot more money. Because what makes your company worth more money ultimately makes it easier to run as well, whether you want to sell it or not. And so I didn't really learn that until my 30s. And now I'm trying to go back and implement that into all of the companies that we currently have.
I know this is a little off script, but could you tell our audience why a tech guru gets into running a wedding shop?
My parents started the wedding shop back in the 70s. So I just grew up, you know, in the wedding space and everything from doing yard maintenance to selling tuxedos to catering food. And, you know, it's funny because weddings really aren't my passion. I don't really know much about, I mean, I know a lot about wedding products, I suppose, compared to the average person, but it's not something I like wake up and I'm like, wow, it's really exciting that I get to think about designing bridesmaids dresses today. So the wedding space was just an opportunity because we had an established retail store and there was revenue. And I have just been able to leverage a lot of my passions like marketing and technology into the wedding space. And what's funny is it's such an old school industry. When I first was kind of pitching like, hey, I think we should sell wedding stuff online back, and this was like probably 2005. And people would literally tell me, Jimmy, that is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No one's going to buy wedding stuff online. no one's going to buy a lot of these things online. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. Like, I think it's probably possible. And sure enough, like, you know, 10 years later, you know, 13 years later, it's like there's tons of online retailers, and whole categories in the wedding industry have just been moved to online only.
That's really cool.
Okay, if you died tomorrow, like, and I mean tomorrow, what would your single biggest regret be?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I was thinking about that, and it's probably that I had more time. And if I died tomorrow, chances are it's probably because I didn't spend enough time on my health, especially after you start having children and you get really busy in your business. So, yeah, I mean, I really think, like, I have a lot to accomplish. And so, you know, I haven't accomplished what I'm looking for. That would be my biggest regret. But like I said, I think it would be better. And I prioritized going to the gym and exercising a lot more when I was in my 20s. But then you start getting busy with your business, and then it just kind of compounds because I have multiple businesses, and then you get married and you have kids, and it's just every, you got to start figuring out, like, what are you going to not do? And I think an easy one is to just not go to the gym and not prioritize, like, preparing food. And then you gain weight and you get tired when you're walking up a flight of stairs. And that's something that, you know, I'm really, like, currently working on, trying to, like, get routines of just saying, like, this is equally as much of a priority as running reports and analyzing the data and building businesses and family stuff. Because if I'm not healthy, that doesn't really help any of those things either.
That's definitely true. Well, then what is one life hack listeners should do this week to become successful? Like, what is one action they could practice this week for the next 7 days?
Yeah. So this one is super easy for me because it's something that drives me nuts all the time. People, I find a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs or people with the entrepreneurial spirit, they read audiobooks and they read books and they go to conferences and they show up to meetups and they consume all of this information and they never take action on it. And so the simplest thing is, like, go find whatever source that you feel is important to get you the information you need. And a lot of times I think, like, going to mentors or people that have done it before is a really good place to get started. But then literally you just have to go execute it. And there isn't, like, a tool to help you do that, I suppose. When I was in, like, the worst of my worst moments, I would work all day. I would come home. I would spend 2 hours with my kids. I would sit down on my computer and I would work until probably 2 a.m. And then I would get 6 hours of sleep and wake up at 8 a.m. and then do the whole thing over. And I did that for months. And it sucks. And especially for people, like, trying to get into the business, or if you really want to, you know, take it to the next level, that's just what it requires. I think the execution piece is the most important thing. And it's the discipline of being able to say, I'm just going to do this until I get to my goals. And then, you know, once you achieve those goals, you can sit back or you can kind of keep pushing forward more and more.
I know you brought up mentors, and this is just for the audience. I'm very curious because I've gotten this question many times in the past. How do you find a good mentor, or is it just a natural thing?
Mine have been mostly natural. Real business mentors that have done it, that kind of came just kind of by accident, or joining peer groups. I mean, I joined a peer group about 5 years ago, maybe now, and I'm in a couple of them. And, you know, it's great. Like, different industries, different thought processes. Someone that's in manufacturing or in accounting has a totally different mindset than what I'm doing a lot of times. But it's good to get those diverse opinions. And some of the ideas I bounce by them, they're just like, well, this is a really easy question. And then the same thing comes back to me. So everybody helps each other. And it's been really great.
Super cool. Now, I want to be respectful of your time, let you go. But before I do that, do you have any parting thoughts, any asks of the audience? Is there a platform they could reach out to you? Any books that you recommend? Anything like that before you go?
Yeah, I mean, they can reach out to me at jimmy@jimmyfritz.com. That's just kind of the email. If anybody ever emails me, that's fine. I always respond.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And we'll keep following your journey.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Master of the Start podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, if you did enjoy, please leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, etc. Also, feel free to visit our site at gomahi.com/podcast. Once again, that's gomahi.com/podcast. for additional show notes. And you can vote on the question that we should ask somebody next week. Some reminders about what Jimmy Fritz said before I let you go. Number one, just like Jimmy has experienced, you will likely find multiple low points throughout your career. Be ready and always try to make the best of them. Jimmy's worst professional moments have been his greatest learning opportunities. Number two, as Jimmy suggested, no matter how important other things are to you, personal, physical, and mental health should become a priority in your life. The healthier you are, the better you are at everything else you do. Number three, and this is your life hack for the week, find a life hack from your favorite business book, guru, or mentor and execute it over the next 7 days. Take action this week. That's all we have for now. We'll see you next week. Adios.